Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Turn in your Bibles with me, if you will, to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. The Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 29. Jeremiah, chapter 29. Let me ask you, what is your favorite season of the year? And why? Summer. What? Summer? Why?
No rain.
No rain? Next. The fall? Why?
The beautiful colors
and the smell of the air. Someone else?
Spring.
Spring? Why?
All the new life.
All right. New life. Someone else?
June 4th.
Happy birthday to you.
Anniversary.
Anniversary. Well, I'm not married to you, so I don't know, you know? Happy anniversary to you and Joseph.
Thank you.
Congratulations. All right. How many?
He's been wandering for 40 years.
He's been wandering for 40 years. 40 years of marriage. Wow. Next. Favorite season of the year and why?
Winter.
Winter, why? Huh?
I love it.
You love it because it's cold. Okay. Anyone else? Summer? The what? Oh, summertime when the living is easy. Yeah, the fish. Yeah, fish are hopping and the cotton is high. Yeah. Okay, I've heard that song. Okay, anyone else?
Spring,
why? Flowers. All right, good. Anyone else?
Easter?
Resurrection of Jesus. That's in the spring, yes. All of them? All of them. Something special about each and every one of them. Seasons. Variety. And not every season is the same every year. I mean, something new in summer every year. Something new in spring every year. The same for the autumn and for the winter. It's wonderful that God has given us such variety. It's wonderful that God has given us seasons. I've often said, you know, I struggle with California because we only have two seasons here, daylight and dark. Back home where I was raised in Arkansas, we had the four seasons. We had snow in the winter and the beautiful colors in the autumn and the hot, sweltering heat in the summer and the beautiful, beautiful flowers in the spring. Just wonderful, wonderful. What? And the bugs? The chiggers, the ticks. Yeah, okay. All right. Okay, enough of that. Back to Jeremiah. Okay, we're getting off track here. Thank you for your input. Appreciate it. I could do without the chiggers. That's, yeah. Lightning bugs. Yes. Used to catch them and put them in a jar. Yeah. Put them by your nightstand. Watch them die. Anyway. Seasons. Nature has its seasons. Relationships have their seasons, don't they? Relationships have their seasons. I don't know if you remember back 1968, Bobby Goldsboro. You don't. You were born that year? Okay. Well, yeah, he sang the song Autumn of My Life, and he talked about in that song the various seasons of the relationship that he had in the spring and how love was wonderful and exhilarating, and then in the relationship moved on as the years moved on. The relationship settled down, and then he moved into the summer of his life, and then in the autumn of his life, in the relationship that he had with his wife. Chuck Swindoll, Greg's favorite. Chuck Swindoll wrote a book, Growing in the Seasons of Life. And he talked about the very... Pardon? It's not true? It's not true. Well, he did write the book, Growing in the Seasons of Life. Oh, he's not your favorite author. Okay, I got it. All right, enough sharing. Enough sharing, okay? But in the book, Growing Through the Seasons of Life, he talks about the seasons that each and every one of us as individuals we go through. He talks about the winters of discouragement. He talks about the springs of renewal, the summers of rest and reflection, and the autumn winds of change and discontent. And like nature, these seasons, they come and they go. They're cyclical. We go through them again and again and again. Not to say that winter always brings discouragement. There's also joy in the winter times, but oftentimes we look upon winter as bleak, cold, can't get out and do the things that we would like to do as we did in the spring or in the summer. And the summers are not always filled with rest and reflection. Sometimes summers are the busiest times of life. But we all go through the seasons of life. Some of our folks have gone through one season in their life, graduation from high school. That phase of their life is over, and now they're going into a new season of life. Some will be going on to college. Some will be looking for jobs, becoming employed. Some are going into the military. Some will be married and begin their families. Parents go through their seasons of life, marriage, children, raising the kids, watching them in the various stages of their lives, being a part of those seasons in their life, watching them graduate, then the empty nest season when the kids are gone, becoming grandparents, another season in life. Oftentimes, grandparents enjoy their grandchildren more than they enjoy their children. But that's a different season in life as well. Retirement. After the 30 or 40 years that you've put in to your job, to your vocation, and then you retire and you enter into a new season. What am I going to do now? And oftentimes the wives, what am I going to do with him now? Readjusting, reevaluating, going through the seasons of life. But there are also those seasons that do not necessarily come and go with time. There are also seasons of the life when we pass from good health to poor health. Or when we enter into a phase of aloneness, where once there was a husband or a wife, and now that spouse has gone. Or when once we were a family gathered around the table, or out in the living room, or out in the backyard, and now there's just the two of us, or just the one of us. Seasons. We all go through them. Israel went through seasons of life. In Jeremiah chapter 29, Israel was in the winter of discouragement. The winter of discouragement and despair. The Jews, they found themselves 800 miles away from their homeland. A broken people. Homesick people. Discouraged and depressed people. They were God's chosen people. Judah was their land by covenant promise. They were the recipients and the custodians of the oracles and the statutes and the precepts and commandments of God. They were the repository of the history of God and His interaction with mankind. They had the temple. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They were in good grace with God for a season. 680 years had passed since crossing the Jordan River. Then the northern kingdom was taken away by Assyria. 100 years later, the southern kingdom of Judah was conquered by Babylon. And they entered into a new season of life. If you turn back to the 25th chapter, keep your thumb there on the 29th chapter, but in the 25th chapter, there was a reason why they entered into this new season of life. Beginning in verse 8, Jeremiah 25. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, because you have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, says the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will bring them against this land, against its inhabitants, and against these nations all around, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment, a hissing, and perpetual desolation. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones and the light of the lamp. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. A new season. A season that will last for 70 years. Why? 70 years. Well, back in Jeremiah chapter 2, there is a reason why God brought Israel into this new season of life. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, what injustice have your fathers found in me, that they have gone far from me, have followed idols, and have become idolaters? Neither did they say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and pits, through a land of drought and the shadow of death, through a land that no one crossed and where no one dwells? I brought you into a bountiful country to eat its fruit and its goodness. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers also transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and walked after the things that do not profit. Therefore, I will yet bring charges against you, says the Lord, and against your children's children I will bring charges. For pass beyond the coasts of Cyprus and see, send to Kedar and consider diligently and see if there has been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. But astonish, O heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he plundered? The young lions roared at him and growled. They made his land waste. His cities are burned without inhabitant. Also the people of Noph and Tophanes have broken the crown of your head. Have you not brought this on yourself, in that you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way? And now, why take the road to Egypt to drink the waters of Sihor? Or why take the road to Assyria and drink the waters of the river? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your backslidings will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord God of hosts. They had forsaken the Lord. God who brought them out of Egypt. God, first of all, who called them to be a people, a chosen people unto himself through Abraham. Who delivered them from slavery after many, many years serving the kings of Egypt. Brought them out of the land across the deserts of Sinai and into a land that he had promised to Abraham. Gave them houses that they didn't build. Gave them fruit from the orchards and the fields that they did not plant. Gave them water from wells that they didn't dig. Protected them from surrounding nations and from their armies to keep them safe. Gave them a temple that they might worship the Lord God. Gave them a covenant. Gave them a law that they should follow. Gave them a knowledge and understanding of who God is and what God delights in. And yet God says, you have turned away from me. You have forsaken me. You have gone back on me. And for that, I'll punish you. I'll punish you for 70 years. They violated the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given to the children of Israel to rest. But not just to sit down and watch the ball game on the idiot box. Not just to sit down and barbecue hamburgers and hot dogs and steaks in the backyard. God gave them a day of rest that they might reflect upon him. That they might remember him. That they might renew their covenant and their relationship to him. Every Sabbath was a time for rest and reflection. But they dishonored the Sabbath. They worked on the Sabbath. They did their own thing on the Sabbath. They forgot God. They did not honor him, nor did they reflect upon his mercy, his grace, and his goodness. And for that, he would send them into exile for 70 years. In Babylon, they were subject to pagan kings, pagan worship practices, a godless culture. And so Jeremiah wrote a letter, chapter 29. If you'll turn back there, please. Jeremiah 29. Beginning in verse 4 and going all the way through verse 32, a letter that Jeremiah wrote to give comfort and hope to the Jews that were in exile. He wanted them to know certain things that they were to do while they were in an alien land. And in this letter, he states six principles that was to be vital to their survival in Babylon. And these are timeless principles, by the way. They're important principles for us. Because as Israel went through this particular season of life, you and I go through our seasons of life. And these principles we need to remember over and over and over again. With each new phase in life, we need to remember these six principles. God has something in store for us. God has something that he wants to show us. God has something planned for us that he would like for us to do. And so he gives us, in this particular letter, some things to remember as we pass through the seasons of our lives. Look first of all at verses 5 and 6, Jeremiah 29, verses 5 and 6. Build houses and dwell in them. Now remember the children of Israel in Babylon. They're in exile. They're not home in Judah. They're off in a far country under pagan kings in a hostile territory under a corrupt and pagan culture. What are we supposed to do? How are we going to survive? How are we supposed to act? Jeremiah writes, "Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may be increased there and not diminished." In other words, settle down. You're going to be here a while. Settle down. You're going to be here a while. We live hurried lives, don't we? We're always in a hurry to get somewhere, always in a hurry to do something. We don't like downtime, for the most part. I remember when I first came here as the pastor of the church, all of my previous pastors, and there was only two other ones, but in my previous pastors, I was a bivocational pastor, which means I had to work a full-time job out in the secular world in order to provide for my family, because the churches where I pastored were not able to provide a full-time salary. And so I was working 80 hours a week, 40 hours at my job, 40 hours in the church, ministry, this, that, and the other. I came to this fellowship, and it was a full-time job. And I remember the first week that I was here as the pastor, I felt so guilty. I felt like I should have been working here and working there and doing this and doing that and so on and so forth. And I remember the secretary came to me and she said, "Just relax, just relax." There were things for me to do, yes, but not at the fast-paced life that I had lived prior. This was a different season in my life. Not that I don't put in 80 hours a week now, but it was different then. We live hurried lives where results are expected immediately. We want instant gratification. We want instant satisfaction. We want results now. But Jeremiah is telling the children of Israel, you're off in a foreign land. You're subject to foreign kings. You're under pagan law. You're exposed to a corrupt and godless culture. And you want to hurry up and get this over with and get back home to Judah, to get back to your homes, to get back to your lives. But be patient. You're going to be here a while. 70 years you're going to be in Babylon. So be patient. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. The end of the matter, Solomon says, the end of the matter is better than its beginning. Patience of spirit is better than haughtiness of spirit. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, trials produce patience. But we are not a patient people, are we? We want to hurry here, we want to hurry there, we're like the airline company. We overbook our lives, don't we? And then we turn around and we find that years have passed. Logan graduated eighth grade this last week. And I have a hard time believing that he's my grandson. Where did the time go? You turn around and it's gone. And you've gone through seasons of your life, and if you're not careful, you miss it. Be patient. Israel had forgotten God while they were in Canaan. They became arrogant. They thought themselves privileged and superior to everybody else. But God sent them into Babylon to teach them humbleness of spirit, to teach them gratitude in their heart for God, to teach them what it means to be faithful and obedient to the Lord, who was their God. Listen, some of the best lessons in life are the hardest ones to learn, aren't they? Some of the best lessons in life are the hardest ones to learn, but we must learn them patiently. Psalm chapter 27 and verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 5. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Every season of life has its own particular trials. Every season of life has its own particular temptations. Every season of life has its own particular challenges. And rather than going through those seasons headlong like a bull in a china closet, we need to pull in the reins and we need to be a little bit more patient and learn to savor the season of life that God has brought us to learn the lessons that season of life can teach us. Settle down. You're going to be here a while. Look at verse 7. Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. In other words, bloom where you're planted. God is basically telling the children of Israel through Jeremiah, I know you don't want to be here, and I know you don't like it here, but you're going to be here a while, so make the most of it. Make the most of it. Mama used to say, if you're served lemons, make lemonade. God brings us to the seasons and situations of our lives for a reason. And in verse 7, Jeremiah says, here in Babylon, you are going to learn to do what you failed to do in Canaan. And that is, here in Babylon, under foreign kings, under foreign laws, in foreign churches, you're going to learn to praise the Lord your God, and you're going to learn to glorify Him. You're going to learn to find contentment in Him. So make the best of an otherwise difficult situation. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. Listen, Paul the apostle writes, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked the opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. Paul goes on to say, I've learned to be exalted. I've learned to be rejected. I've learned to have plenty. I've learned to have nothing. In all of these various stages, in all of these various states of life, I have learned to be content. And then he sums it up in verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This was the lesson that God wanted the children of Israel to learn. He wants you and I to learn that in every season in life, we learn to lean upon the Lord and find our peace and our contentment in Him. Now, we search for that in other areas. We search for that in other relationships. We search for that in maybe changing to a different job, changing to a different venue, moving to a different state, changing a spouse. But we'll never find the contentment that God desires for us to have until we find it in Him. Until we find it in Him. Israel was called to be a witness to the nations of God's glory and God's majesty, of His grace and of His mercy and of His salvation. And in every situation in life, you and I are called to the same thing. We are called to be witnesses to those around us of the grace and the mercy of the Lord God. Jeremiah said, you're going to be here for 70 years. Make the most of it. Bloom where you're planted. Look at verses 8 and 9. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you've caused to be dreamed. For they prophesied falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. In other words, don't be fooled again. Learn from your mistakes. Israel listened to false prophets who led them away from God into idolatry and into sinful lifestyles and into unholy alliances. Israel listened to those preachers who were not sent from God. They listened to preachers who were corrupt and godless, who were egocentric. They were pleasure seekers. And we face the same today, do we not? There are voices calling out to us from pulpits and from bookshelves and from radio and television and from the internet. Voices that sound orthodox. Sermons and lessons that seem biblical, spiritual, beneficial, but they're not. Because these voices do not come from God. Proverbs 14 and verse 12, Solomon says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death." We are to seek wise counsel, not worldly counsel. We are to test the spirits that influence us. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." You and I are subject to voices everywhere we go, in our neighborhoods, even in our own homes, in our schools, in our business places. Everywhere you turn, someone has a bit of advice that they want to give you. Someone has a special insight that they want to share with you. Scripture tells us, don't take it at face value. Listen. Listen to the voice of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Look to the truth of God's word in all matters of your life and of living. Again, Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 3, "Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your soul." People have a lot of things to say. Some of it's not worth a bowl of dirt. Discern. Listen. But listen to the voice of God. Not the voice of false teachers, false preachers. Look at verse 10 and 11. "For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed, at Babylon I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place." Verse 11 is a favorite passage of Scripture. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. Don't stop thinking about tomorrow. This is not all that there is. God has a plan for His people. Do you know that God has a plan for you? God has a plan for you. He knows you. He knew Jeremiah when Jeremiah was in the womb of his mother. He saw as Jeremiah developed in the womb of his mother, as the bones developed and as the tissues developed, and as he began to grow as an embryo, he was there. He saw him. He knows you as well. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he has a plan for you. Fulfilling God's plan in life is not easy given the world that we live in. And sometimes we fail, do we not? Sometimes we fail in God's plan. Sometimes we're like Israel. Sometimes we do not honor God. Sometimes we turn away from God. Sometimes we want to do our own thing, our own way. Sometimes we do not want God in any part of our business, in our thinking, in our living, in our spending. We want to keep God in a box that we call a church building. And whenever we need God, we'll call on you. Thank you very much. Whenever we need to get in touch with God, we'll go to the church or we'll go to the preacher or we'll do this or we'll do that. But otherwise, leave me alone. That was Israel's attitude. But even when we sin against the Lord and His punishment visits us like it visited Israel, We need to remember what David wrote in Psalm chapter 30, verses 4 and 5. David said, "Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for a night, but the shout of joy comes in the morning. This too shall pass." God said, "I'm going to send you into exile because you have forsaken me, but you'll only be there for 70 years. And then I'll bring you home again." There is a tomorrow. Somebody told me a long time ago, I don't remember who it was, but somebody gave me a bit of advice a number of years ago. And the advice was simply this: if in your life you're going through hell, don't build your house there. Just keep on going through it. Just get through it. There is a tomorrow for God's people. A brighter tomorrow, a better tomorrow. This season is not the only season in life. After the winter comes the spring. After the spring comes the summer. After the summer comes the autumn. And we go through the phases of our lives just as the earth goes through its phases of life. What if I don't survive this season? Do I just sit down and play checkers? What if this is the stopping off point? There would be some people, and there were some people in Babylon who would not leave Babylon. When the 70 years was up, they were already dead because they went into exile as old people. And some of them would never see their deliverance. Some of them would never go back home. So what do? Do we sit down by the river of Kibar and do we wail and do we weep and do we bemoan our situation and our circumstance? No, Jeremiah says, prepare your children so that they can go back home. Prepare your grandchildren so they can go back home. You may not be able to go into the next phase of your life. There may not be another season in your life, but spend that time preparing others. Give them the wisdom that God has given you. Share with them the stories of your legacy with God. Prepare them for life. Look at verses 12 through 14. "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you to the place from which I've caused you to be carried away captive. Whenever you call on me, I'll be there. Whenever you call on me, I will be there." You ever feel alone? You ever feel like no one knows what you're going through? No one can empathize with you? Have you ever felt like that you were just out on the limb by yourself? That you were right at the edge of the cliff and ready to fall off? And there's no one else around? Have you ever felt like Job? That even when you have your friends around you, you're still all alone? No, you're not. God has said, "I will never leave you and I will never forsake you." Even in Babylon, God was with the children of Israel to protect them, to provide for them, to encourage them, to lift them up, and to give them the promise of a return back home. God never left them. They had left God in Canaan, but God never left them in Babylon. And He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Hebrews 13, verse 5. And no matter what your situation or your circumstance may be, no matter, dear friends, if you're walking through paradise or if you're walking through hell, It doesn't matter if you are experiencing the joys of your life or you're experiencing the sorrows of your life. It doesn't matter if you're with friends and family or if you're all alone. No matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance may be, Jesus says in Matthew 11:28, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. But he asks you, come to me. Come back to me. And I will give you the contentment that you lost when you turned away from me. Finally, the last principle in verses 15 to 23. I'll not read it. It's a long passage of Scripture. But basically, in verses 15 to 23, God says, my judgment, no one is going to escape. My judgment, no one will escape. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 22, do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord and he will save you. Don't take it upon yourselves to seek revenge, to get back at the Babylonians. Don't take it upon yourselves to do God's work and to turn away and to rebel and to do all kinds of things in Babylon that you did in Israel. I'll take care of Babylon, God said. You just stick close to me. You keep focused on me, and I'll take care of Babylon. Those who stand against God's people stand against God. Don't ever forget that. Those who stand against God's people stand against God, and he will judge those who persecute, who abuse, who curse, who take advantage of his people. We're to live in peace and leave the rest to him. We're to live in peace and leave the rest to him. Never take your own revenge, beloved. Scripture tells us, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19. Our response to trials and to tribulations, our position in the midst of heartaches and disappointments and discouragements, our attitudes in the seasons of life and the situations of life that leave us grieving or empty or cast down, our position, our attitude, our response is to trust in the Lord and depend upon him, to seek his counsel, to embrace his strength, to experience his grace and mercy. Let me give you some passages of Scripture. You need to write them down. You need to remember them, and I'll close. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Is he? Is he your rock and your fortress and your deliverer? The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. I'm proud to be a citizen of this country. I am proud to be an American. And I don't think it is a character flaw or a weakness in who I am to say that I am proud to be an American. I believe that we are the greatest country on the face of the earth. I believe that we are the most powerful country on the face of the earth. I believe that we are the wealthiest country on the face of the earth. I believe that we're the most technologically advanced country on the face of the earth. we didn't make ourselves that. It's God who blessed America. Israel had a great army, but Babylon conquered Israel. We have a great military, but godlessness is going to conquer this country. Like Israel, we have turned away from the Lord our God. And like Israel, He is going to send us into exile as well. What do we do? How do we face this? What should our attitude be? Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 37 and verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate faithfulness. And that's such a wonderful, that's such an important psalm. Listen to it again. Psalm 37, 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and cultivate not personal wealth, cultivate not personal advancement, not cultivate personal worth, but cultivate faithfulness to God. Psalm 125, verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but will abide forever. And the last, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. Jeremiah wrote to a broken people, a discouraged people, a depressed people. A people who had sinned against God and were in the midst of God's judgment for their sin. But Jeremiah wrote to encourage them. I know, says the Lord, the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Let's pray. Father, like the children of Israel, we've been in the land a long time. And we have seen many things, and we have experienced many things, and we have become something. Something noteworthy. There are countries, Lord, who honor us and respect us. There are countries who fear us. There are countries that despise us. We have made a name for ourselves, but Father, we have not made a name for you. We have exalted ourselves, but we have not exalted you. We have turned unto our own selves, unto our own abilities, unto our own power, our own strength. We have turned to our own wealth, but in the same time, we've turned away from you. And while we may think that we're so strong and so powerful and so wealthy and so intelligent and so capable and all of that in a box of crackers, we're nothing without you. And that's going to be a hard lesson for us to learn, because that's a hard lesson that you're going to teach us. Lord, I ask that you will burn these principles into our heart and into our minds, because the day is coming when we're going to need them. The day is coming when we're going to be like Israel. We're going to be a broken people. We're going to be a discouraged people, because we're going to be a people who have turned away from you. And you are going to bring Babylon to our borders. Lord, I ask today that you will speak to our heart and use this letter of Jeremiah to encourage us today to stay faithful, to stay focused on you, to to be patient in the seasons of our lives, to invest our time and our energy and effort into our children and our grandchildren, to bloom where we're planted, to do the best with what we have, to make a difference in our neighborhoods, our schools, our places of business, even in our church. But we cannot do these things without you. We cannot do these things, Lord God, when we're living in the world and not in the Word. We cannot do these things, Lord God, when we go on our own way and not go down your way. We cannot do these things when we have unholy alliances, sinful lifestyles, godless religion. God, help us before it is too late. I want you to stand with me, if you will, please. David is going to come and lead us in a song of invitation. And as we sing, if you are ready to commit your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to come and meet me here at the altar. If you're tired of the emptiness of life, if you're tired of the frustrations, the anxieties, come to Jesus. Find in Him contentment and peace. Christian friend, if you're in the midst of a season in life that is discouraging and disappointing, if you're running through life from one appointment to the next, hurriedly trying to make something of who you are, you've lost patience, you're not waiting on the Lord, maybe you need to come back to Jesus. He said, come to me. Those of you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you the rest that you're looking for. But come to me. Whatever your need is, whatever your heart's desire is, the Lord God knows it, and the Lord God will answer it if you'll simply come back to Him. David, lead us as we sing, please.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.